You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hello and welcome back. This is Jessica, not Ashley, doing the intro. Dr. Ken and I are here today, and we're going to be talking about preparing for an empty nest.
You're not Ashley.
I'm not Ashley, and I don't do a good job of that intro. Well, she does a much better job.
I'm not going to heartily agree with you, but yeah, a little bit.
Heartily agree. Yeah, this is definitely not as polished as Ashley.
You did good. She's just real good. That's all we're saying.
We're missing Ashley today, but she'll be back next week. We're going to be talking about preparing for an empty nest, which I'm excited about because I think about this pretty often. I have two kids already still at home. Mm-hmm. And one of my kids that's still at home is 16 and she is becoming more independent and I see her a lot less. And the house feels weird with just two kids at home.
Does, doesn't it?
It's quiet. Yeah, it feels different. My husband and I have a little more time together and I'm thinking, are we going to enjoy all of this when they're all gone?
Those are the right questions to be asking. That's exactly right. Because as we always say, you know, especially for Christian parents, parenting teenagers isn't just about doing the right thing into ministry into their lives. This is a big spiritual journey for parents as well, and learning about yourself, learning about marriage, all that kind of thing. And so anytime you're approaching a phase of parenting that is the end is in sight, that it makes sense to strengthen your hand by also thinking in advance about when we are going to be empty nest. I really suggest you start seriously thinking about it at the latest when your youngest turns 13. That's the lap, you know, that bell lap or whatever, you know, that last lap.
The final lap bell.
I think that's when you start thinking about it.
Wow, that's really early. That's in the next year for me.
Yeah, that would be
it. I am thinking about it.
And in a way, you kind of have been, you know, you've changed some of what you are involved in and so forth. And I think a lot of parents do that. But it is a different kind of thinking to be specifically thinking about my life after I have no children at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, and mine's pretty gradual. My kids are about 9 years apart. 8.5, 9 years apart. So there's quite a bit of time spread there where each one leaves. But there are a lot of parents that have kids back to back. My sister and I were only 20 months apart. My parents went from being, you know, full house, lots of kids over all the time to an empty nest in 1 year, really.
Yeah.
With Sarah and I leaving 1 year apart. So yeah, it's different for each family, but there is a process there that I'd like to discuss. What do we start doing and thinking about as our kids are growing up, becoming more independent, not at home as often? They should be out with their friends more. Maybe they're involved in more sports and activities where you're not seeing quite so much of them at the end of their high school year.
And that's what Feeding the Mouth parents really know is that, you know, they know better than the parent that says, you know, my last one is, I only have another year with him. And so this is a time I really want to pour into him. And, you know, so I've quit my job and I'm staying at home. No. I guarantee you, your sweet teenager is going to be going, wait, I'm not. If you've done your job right, they don't really want to hang out with you all the time. So most of our parents know that. However, it can feel, especially to the primary parent, which is often a mom, it can feel weird to be actively planning things that you have been putting on hold for your period of time when your children are there, to hear that, yeah, by 13, 14 of your youngest, it's time to start planning, getting back into that. So for example, if you have slowed down or even held off on a career path, then it's a good time to start actually pursuing, bringing up the training that you may have need, even some education. You use the less time that your teenager needs from you to also prepare for, like, for example, if you're going to have a career change or startup as a parent after the children leave, now's the time to actively prepare for that Like, you know, does that make sense? Like training, school, that kind of thing.
I have maybe go back and get a master's or
that's exactly right. Now's the time to do it.
Right. Or pursue something that maybe has always interested you, but you've just had so much time devoted to your kids and that sort of thing that you think, well, now's my time to kind of learn more about that. So that's a good idea.
Do you feel the kind of betrayal in that? Like, well, as a mother, I shouldn't be, you know, planning that. And it's like, well, no, you know, you've got to.
Yes, there's some hesitancy in me. One part of me is saying, nope, this is what I've waited for. I've put a lot of my dreams and my goals on hold so that I could raise my children and be there for them and be available when they were younger. And now here's a time for them to flourish and for me to flourish in a different sort of way. But then you also think, well, I only have 2 or 3 years left with them. I don't want to waste all of those years pursuing, let's say, a master's degree and not being available to them when they need me or when they want me, because I only have a couple more years at this. And so you do feel a little hesitation and want to put it off even farther into the future.
And I would love to also include in fathers' lives that this is the time to maybe start cranking up some of the career decisions that you put off while your children were at home. But I got to be honest, I don't have a lot of fathers doing that. Frankly, I think the data shows that men should and could and should take notes from women, professional women who make career decisions that involve their children a lot more. Men still tend to think about a career regardless of what their children's needs are. But if a listener is a father, I mean, we have some single dads for sure that you've, you know, been putting off while your kids are at home, a different change or an addition to your career, then now's the time to start thinking about that. So that's the first one, is to deliberately think about the jumping off into the next thing you'll be about. And you know, we don't believe that it's obviously only about money making. There's ministry opportunities and things that you really start pursuing that, you know, give yourself the vocation that you'll be about. Because remember, you know, being able to really emancipate your kids, really, it's not just the logical steps that you do. It's not even just intellectual. It's also your heart. You really need to be able to signal to your kids in a real way, hey, I'm going to be fine when you're gone. As a matter of fact, why don't you go early? You know, I mean, those are, you know, not a bad sign for teenagers. One of the elements they need emotionally to individuate is to know that my parents are going to be okay after I'm gone. So, and you know, them seeing it is good for them.
Yes. As a stay-at-home mom, I feel like that's especially important to signal to your kids that I have other things that I have put off and I'm going to be about when I don't have children at home anymore. And so, you know, while they were at home, I gave up a lot of my career aspirations and things I wanted to do, but now I can up my time spending volunteering or teaching Bible studies or doing this podcast, other things that I didn't have the time for when they were younger. But can I be honest, a lot of this hits for people, moms and dads, in their mid to late 40s, early 50s. And I'm sorry, but I'm tired. And I'm thinking,
so, well, you're planning on napping after the kids are gone?
Maybe so. You kind of get to this. Well, I think your priorities change. You're like, oh, I'm less driven toward making money and I'm more driven toward having freedom or having time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And sometimes too, and maybe it's not just career aspirations, but maybe it's hobbies or ministries that you have wanted to always be a part of, but your kids have taken, you know, the time that would have been necessary to have. So
yes,
a lot of hobbies that maybe start, it's not too late.
We're not talking about now you get started on this giant career. That's a good point. And that kind of blends over into the other big area, which is to really think about yourself emotionally. Like, this is definitely the whole time should have been, but this is definitely the time to start really taking stock in your marriage. The idea of how are we going to be without these kids? And many marriages, even kind of good looking marriages, are more than you think, or at least the couple things, more based in our parenting. We are good parents. We're fun. We're the center place where all the kids come. And, you know, they don't hate each other, but at all, but they also don't do much of anything alone, and they don't pursue time alone. And then it stuns them later to find out, wow, we really are not as connected when we don't have this sort of shared job to do. So the other thing to really start planning and being using your teenager's age, that, you know, you can definitely be able to get away for an overnight and send a teenager off to a friend's house or whatever, and really pursue, do we still like each other like we used to, and have the sort of support that we have for each other. Because you know this full well, because men just don't think about stuff, but I've got lots of wives that are very conscious of, you know, I don't know how to tell him, but I'm not looking forward to time with him. And he's like, this is going to be great. And she's like, really? Is it really going to be great? And stuff that's just kind of been floating there for a long time.
Right. Well, and the empty house allows you to see each other's irritating flaws and problems even more clearly, because a full house and being busy with the kids' activities kind of distracts you from what's going on in your marriage. Right.
Right.
And so it's kind of been a crutch that you get along because you don't have to be together all that much. Right.
And that's
you're just meeting up at the soccer field or, you know, taking the kids here or there. You're both in different directions. So it kind of makes the things obvious.
The same goes for single parents. So, you know, I've said before that, you know, if you're have decided I'm really not going to be pursuing marriage or anything until my kids are gone, that's a noble thing. But it's also reasonable to be thinking about, by, you know, your youngest being 14 or 15, you might be more open to potentially dating and so forth. Remembering that two important things. Number one, dating is a terrible way to meet your social needs. So your real needs for companionship will be found in your girlfriends or guy friends, if you're a dad or a mom. And really crank those up so that you're, again, you want to be able to signal realistically to your kids that I'm going to be fine when you're gone. So having your social network really needs to be boosted. That's been harder. COVID shot apart a whole bunch of social networks for people. And you really want to start pursuing, you know, supper time when we get together, or happy hours, or whatever it is that you do if you're a single parent, to get with your friends. But then again, this is the time to think about, would I ever want to marry? And if so, you know, what do I want to do? The only thing to avoid is, this is the time. It's not the time to crank up lots of dating. And you definitely do not want to introduce even teenage children to someone that you're dating, unless you're virtually engaged. It's just not helpful. That's a lot of parents don't agree with that, but it's actually better for your kid. You know, they'll say, well, I want my kid to meet this person to see how that goes. Well, you can, if you're pretty much set that we're going to marry. But a lot of times parents try to, this is not the topic today, but a lot of times you try to put my kid's opinion into the early stages of whether this is going to work. And that's a mistake on several levels. These kids are going to leave you. You want to get them gone. So their opinion isn't the essential part of it. And number two, you know, what the hardest thing for kids with only a single parent, certainly divorced, isn't just the divorce. It's the constant reshuffling of family after that. But having said all that, this may be the time for a parent who has been putting that off. If your youngest is certainly by middle adolescence, 14, 15, it's certainly time to maybe start thinking about, do you want to marry, and how would you go about doing that?
And your qualifications and what you're looking for in a partner after your children are gone are totally different than somebody you would be trying to raise children with. And so I think that frees you to look for somebody that you have a great, you can be great companions, travel together, enjoy hobbies or things like that. And you're not thinking about, is this person going to be a good dad or a good mom to my kids? Because my kids will be out of the house. That'll be a totally different game.
That's right. So it's, but again, it's all that thing about, hey, in not that much longer, it's just going to be, they're going to be gone. And so how's this going to be? My marriage, my career, my social relationship, that kind of thing. And it's not just for you. It's good for your kids to hear and see that you're going to be fine when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. I think kids want to know that their parents have a life outside of them. I think it makes them feel a lot less pressure for sure when they're headed off to college and they know that their parents are happy and they're having fun. I have to say, my parents, like I mentioned earlier, my sister and I graduated within a year of each other, and we were a little worried about my parents. They'd been so involved with all of our activities, and they'd been real present for everything. And my sister and I talked about it on the phone a few times. So she said, you know, I'm going to go surprise mom and dad this weekend. And I was like, that's a great idea. They're going to love that. So she shows up on Friday night. She went to college about 2 hours away from my parents, shows up on Friday night. She opened the front door with her key and she said what she saw horrified her. My dad was chasing my mom up the stairs. They each had a glass of wine and they were giggling. And she opened the door and they were dressed at that point, which was good because we worried about what would happen after that. My mom's going to die when
you don't want to see the primal story. Scene. Yes.
No, but Sarah said, she called me and said, I think that they're going to be just fine without us.
That's perfect. See, don't
reassured us both that they weren't going to go nuts without us.
See, I admire your parents already. Don't tell them I said that. But that's just, it adds to it. That's exactly, you couldn't orchestrate that better.
I know. It's very reassuring. Yeah. And as a kid, an 18, 19 year old, you're like, this is so gross, mom and dad. But it was also great.
If you're married,
know
it's not gross.
They didn't need us. They could have a life without us. They soon after that took on, they used to ride a bike for two, like a tandem bike and these tandem, we laughed. They were so cute. And just this newfound time together was great for them. They enjoyed life together.
Giving your mom a hard time. Like, I think it was Rob that was really riding the bike and you're just happening to go in the back.
That's
like,
exactly
no,
what it was.
No, I do my part. Did not think that was accurate. But you know, a lot of times it's kind of communicated. I have moms that are well aware of this and dads too, but you'll kind of make a joke out of it. Oh, I don't know what I'll do when you're gone and whatever. But even that, you got to be careful to not make too many jokes about it, because there's many a truth said in jest. And that's it's fine to kind of kid about it. But, you know, really the kind of mourning that happens, really grieving, it should not be something that you burden your kids with. That's what you burden your friends with, and especially you burden your spouse with, that you really, you know, come together with, you know, this is going to be different and tough, and here's our plan of what we're going to do afterward that we can look forward to.
How are we going to keep ourselves busy so we don't pester our kids when they're off at their freshman year of college, right?
That's right. And it's hard. You know, I mean, I can tell you, I think it's okay for me to mention that, you know, my wife, we knew this. I talked to her about it. She really kind of looked sort of into it, but she just wasn't eager about the career that she had before we were married. She taught French. And basically, it just never, she never really got it figured out. And even though she knew better, and we certainly were working on our marriage, it was still very difficult for her. And that's not always a bad thing, but knowing it and trying to prepare the best you can gives you a good shot at it. But, you know, like it's not an easy thing. We still had a hard time with it, even though, you know, we on paper knew this was coming and blah, blah, blah. It's hard. It's hard to figure it out.
It is. Your whole life is oriented this way and suddenly it changes. And so I think it's important, you know, each kind of school year, I evaluate what my kids are going to need from me that year. Am I going to need to pick people up? How much time do I have during the day? And then I look at those pockets of time and say, okay, what am I going to add this year? What can I add to my schedule? How can I love people, serve people? What can I volunteer and do more of? You know, what is it that I'm excited about learning? Maybe it's taking a class or something else, you know, and add that to my schedule so that hopefully each year it's a little gradual step toward my kids being gone, you know, that I have a life full of purpose,
intentional,
all the way. Yeah. All the way, you know, to the very end.
That's so you. So. It's annoyingly you. That's perfectly correct. But I've seen you, you've told me that. I've seen you do that. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I want to live fully till the very last day that God gives me here on this earth. And I don't want to be, checking out and, you know, turning in my time card when my kids get out of the house and then wondering what else I'm going to do with the next 30 years. I'm not right. going to, I don't want to be that. I want to have
right.
lots of plans.
That's right. And Charlie has plans. So there you go. Y'all will be fine. Does.
We're going to be okay.
You can play this for your kids.
Yeah. Mom and dad are going to be just fine without you. Yeah. Well, we tease 2029 is the year that my youngest leaves. And so we joke about that a lot. Like the kids are saying, we'd love to go take this trip or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, 2029, your dad and I are taking that.
That's
trip.
Good. They don't like, they're like, wait, what about
we're us? Counting down till you leave. Cause there's going to be a lot of fun to be had when you're gone. So.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Dr. Ken, I appreciate this conversation. I know that, as a mom of an almost 13-year-old, I am looking toward those days when my kids will all be gone. And each year it gradually changes. And it's important that we evaluate how our time is spent and how our marriage is oriented around our kids and prioritize that even more as they get older. Right. Thank you, Dr. Ken.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's CARILOHA.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.